1-877-934-6833. Greg in Illinois, you're on the Ed Schultz Show. Thanks for calling, Greg.
Good morning, Counselor. First of all, what I'm sort of worried about with the automotive industry is that apparently, just looking at the general mess, is that General Motors is designing a car to fail. In other words, that new Volt that they're talking about is such a great thing. Basically, if you look at the Internet, you can see that this thing goes 30 miles, and then they have to start the gasoline engines. There isn't a hybrid on the planet that does it that way. Secondly, if we don't do a better job, the Chinese are going to come out with a electric hybrid thing that'll do like 230 miles on one charge. It's sort of, they're setting it up like they did to destroy diesels in this country. I mean, they made a terrible engine, self-destructive. That's why nobody does diesels.
Here's my concern, Greg, and I'm a big fan of making sure that we can manufacture in this country. I'm well documented with audio on this program time and time again. But has anybody checked out the economy lately? How many folks are out there spending 40 grand on a vehicle? How many people are getting credit? Okay, so you put $3,000-$4,000 down, you get a finance 35, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's what Americans do. Yeah, I mean, no one is doing that kind of stuff right now. So is the Volt going to turn the mindset of the American people around? Hey, GM's got a Volt. I think I'll go get in the hole for 30 grand and give this thing a shot. Come on, folks. I think they're going to have to do better than that. I really do. I'm a GM fan, but I'm not convinced that the Volt is going to turn the economy around. It's going to be another good offering headed in the right direction by GM, but it isn't going to be the savior. I don't believe it is.
And I think you're absolutely correct on that.
We have a I'm asking the listeners a question now in this next segment here, and you can call in and talk about what you want to talk about, but you could just give me a quick answer on this because I'm emotionally connected to this next story. And I'd like to know, what would be retribution on this? And it's hard for me to ask that because I don't know who did this. I don't know if it was somebody who knew who I was or, you know, targeted our car or just some random meathead walking by and deciding to do it. But I've really been in a bad mood for a few days because someone keyed our car. Now, we have a Cadillac Escalade. I thought we kind of grew out of that. I mean, I thought keying cars was over with. Did that end a couple of years ago or something? Anyway, so we have a Cadillac Escalade on a 2-year lease, and it's up at the end of the year. So I have to turn it back on the 1st. And we love the vehicle. But, you know, obviously we're changing and going to something more fuel efficient to make all you lefties happy. Hey, look, if I had not been in that vehicle this morning, I'd have never made it on Highway 10 in that snowstorm, okay? So don't get into an argument with me about whether pickup trucks and SUVs are good in the North Country. Check the weather lately. A small compact car wouldn't have made it, period. Anyway. So our lease is up on this 2007 Cadillac Escalade, and over the weekend we're out to dinner, and I think this is where it happened, because I got up the next morning and went, well, what is that? And our car got keyed, and I'm pissed. And it's $850. You know, we got a $1,000 deductible. Now, so I was wondering, maybe you wonderful listeners can help me simmer down a little bit and say, oh, Eddie, don't worry about it. But you know what? If I could nightstick that SOB, I think I'd do it. That's how I feel about it. But what would possess someone to go vandalize somebody else's stuff? What's the mission here? What's retribution? Now, outside of the electric chair, I'm open to suggestions, because that's how I feel about it. This is where I really turn into a redneck. Oh, you've had your car keyed? You went and hugged the guy when you found out who it was. I get it. Come on. This sucks. And so, okay, let's just play with it. If we do catch this person, and we won't, it's impossible. What's retribution? Oh, he's got to fix it. Wait a second. This is I don't know what you think, but $850 is a lot of money. That's damage. That's real damage. I'm not happy about that. Let's see. That's my cell phone bill, my cable bill, electrical bill, all rolled up into one. And I'm just furious about this. So, what, you know, okay, 10 years in jail, I'm okay with that. You know, whipping, well, I can't take them to Guantanamo, but you know what I mean. 1-877, we got Ed. David in San Francisco, great to have you on the Ed Schultz Show.
Hey, Ed, hope you're going to have a good New Year.
I hope so, too. I think we, well, my wife and I have never disappointed one another on New Year's. It's always a wonderful time.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, you know, we don't have that fearsome thing that we hear about from the Midwest called slippery ice out here in San Francisco.
Thank God, because you've got hills that are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. But, you know, I just happened to think of your keying incident. Maybe somebody was walking near the car, they started to slip, and they scratched it on the way down. You know, maybe it's not worth whipping them about. But,
no,
hey,
this is very horizontal, David.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, this is a two-door shot, too.
Holy cow.
Is the driver door, and, oh, we didn't get that good enough. What do you say we get the passenger door?
Yeah, I was wondering about 850. That's a pretty good size scratch. Hey, you know, I don't know if you're, I know you've got a lot of radio stations around the country, and I'm hoping you've got some along, let's see, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Memphis, anywhere along the Mississippi River, south of the Ohio River. Are you aware of the big, massive Tennessee Valley Authority Dam that busted open on just before Christmas?
I saw that on the news.
Well, this thing is somewhere between 30 and 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez. 30 to 100 times bigger. You know, the Exxon Valdez was 10 million gallons. This is, you know, much of the radio news is saying it's a billion gallons. And this is, you know, mercury, let's see, arsenic, mercury, lead, and cadmium, which are all bad heavy metals. They, the Tennessee Valley Authority had a dam operation up there, or a coal operation up there. It's kind of similar to the old clean coal lie. And they rated this thing with their engineering for something over a million yards. And a yard is, I haven't figured out the math on how many gallons fit in a yard of slush or dirt or whatever it is, but this thing was rated for a million, and they were short of 6 million, so they overloaded this thing until it busted open, and then it, you know, it's let's see, I think it started at the Emory River, got a little part of trying to think of some tiny little, I think Clinch River, then the Tennessee River is about 300 miles long, and it's going to flow to Paducah, Kentucky. But I'm also noticing they have what's called the Tom Bigbee Canal.
Where are you going with all this, if I can, Dave?
Well, this is hazardous waste.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and so what are we doing about it? Well, it's not in the news. That was a weekend story. So not to diminish what you're saying at all, but why isn't it getting the proper attention? How big a deal is this? Honey, have you seen what's in the front yard? I mean, I saw the videotape. I saw the coverage of it. It's mammoth, there's no doubt. But how do you mop it up? Get people to move?
Well, the first thing we got to deal with is this so-called lie that Bush and his buddies are pushing, and it's called clean coal technology, because this so-called clean coal is essentially developing these massive dams of hazardous wastes, and then they do budget cuts and overfill them, and they're going to bust open. Now, the horror of...
Well, that's not the coal's fault. That's the management of the residual is what that is. I mean, you just can't burn the coal, and you just can't do the scrubbing of it and be done with it. I mean, there's
multiple lies with it. I was from out in a place called in Colorado near Parachute, which is where they were going to do.
Well, wait a second, David. Now we're getting into a bigger subject here.
It's clean coal technology, which is a big lie, because they essentially create 20 gallons of dirty, or of highly polluted water for every 1 gallon of oil.
All right, David, 50% of the lights that are turned on in this country are done by coal fire plants. What do you want to change?
Well, first of all, you have to create conservation. That, I mean, that's going to deal with about, you know, sixfold of the problem. And then you're going to have to get into alternative energy. And alternative energy could be, you know, you flush your toilet and, you know, that could be creating methane as opposed to, you know, demanding that we, you know, do mountaintop removal.
Okay, let me, are you saying completely eliminate coal?
It, you know, we've got to get mature about this.
But wait a minute now. It's a yes or no deal here. Are you saying completely eliminate coal?
I'm not going to say completely, but the whole idea of tar sands and shale is completely a lie. Because those boys, it takes 50% of the energy to get 50% out.
Well, this country has made a major environmental mistake then. Because half the lights in this country are turned on by coal-fired plants, 20% by nuke, the other 20% by natural gas, and then the rest is broken up into, you know, wind, solar.
Well, we're using primitive technology,
okay.
And they're locking us into old boy investments.
Okay.
Of
well,
primitive technology.
All right. This is where the infrastructure and the new package of job creation and stimulus is going to go with the Obama camp. But they're saying, too, just we're on the same page here, coal is part of the Obama energy equation.
If it's clean coal, it's a lie.
Okay.
And we don't want to get locked into a lie.
Well, Dave, let me just offer this to you. Why don't you come to North Dakota, where there are a number of coal fire plants and there's not a whole lot of population, and take a tour of the plant. There's a number of them. And check out what they've done as far as putting $40 million into scrubber technology over the last several years.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, Ed, because, you know, they say that if North Dakota alone gathered the wind energy, they could power the entire United States. They have so much wind in North Dakota alone that they could power the entire United States. And then you get into some secondary lies, let's say like nuclear. They produce just the amount of energy that they use to produce the fuel rods was more than the amount of electricity they've ever produced from any power plant in America. So in other words, it took something like 80 times more electricity to produce the rods in the first place than it did. They've never produced enough electricity to equal the amount of energy it took to create the rods in the first place.
I'll give you the last word. I appreciate your call, David. Thanks so much. 1-877-934-6833. We're right back here where America comes to talk. The Schultz Show.